You're listening to Keeping Track, the official podcast of the Australian Grand Prix. In this week's episode, Daryl Beattie joins us as we count down to the AirAsia Australian Motorcycle Grand Prix. We sit down with 2006 world champion Nicky Hayden to discuss his contract extension with Ducati, and young Aussie Jack Miller drops by to talk about his debut season in Moto3. There's all that and more on Keeping Track, the official podcast of the Australian Grand Prix.
Hello and welcome to Keeping Track, the official podcast of the Australian Grand Prix. Matt Clayton with you for episode 16 of our show, and we're now just a month away from the AirAsia Australian Motorcycle Grand Prix at Phillip Island. Later on, we'll hear from 2006 MotoGP World Champion Nicky Hayden, while young Aussie Jack Miller joins us to talk about his first year in the Moto3 category. For the time being, though, there's plenty to talk about in the lead-up to the island this year, and we have a very special guest to help us do just that. He's a three-time Grand Prix winner, and he's now the expert analyst on TEN's MotoGP coverage. Welcome to Keeping Track, Daryl Beattie.
Hey, Matthew. How are you, mate?
Very, very well, mate. Good to talk to you. First things first, you've been around this sport for a long while. You can understand things in their proper historical perspective. Have you ever seen a buzz about the Australian Grand Prix like there's been this year, with it being Casey's last race at home?
I'd have to say 89 was a pretty big buzz.
Well, yeah, absolutely.
Obviously the first year back at the island, and Grand Prix in Australia after Gardner's world title win in 87. But I think it's nice. You know, we've had some great Grand Prix down there, as I mentioned, from the Gardner Doohan era, even McGee there. And then it's kind of gone back to Sydney and then back to Phillip Island, and some good build-up to Mix last season. And, you know, the bike fans are always loyal, and that's one thing you got to love about going to the island. You know, it never surprised me and never wipes a smile off my face when I drive into the track every day.
No, very true.
The bike's parked out in the paddock. It's quite nice, but yeah, it's looking like it's going to be a really good atmosphere.
Talking about Casey, Darrell, we've all seen the Indianapolis accident. We've been hearing about what he's been going through in order to recover from the island. When you come back from a big accident like that, when you've really hurt yourself, what's the biggest challenge to getting back on the bike? Is it as much mental as it's physical at that point?
I don't think he'll have any mental issues whatsoever, and I'm only going sort of based on my own experiences, but if it's broken bones, or in my case, five toes, or whatever it may be, it never really rattles you. It's not a problem. It's really about when you get back on the bike, it's about if you're restricted with movement, how deep is the pain. But it seems like he didn't have, his surgery was very invasive. He didn't have any major issues, so I picture him having really no problems, just a bit of time off the bike. But, you know, he has longer off the bike generally in the off season, so a Grand Prix or two before he heads to the island would be the perfect preparation.
Well, you look, you'd hope so. Hopefully he'll get his eye in before he gets back down here. Speaking of Casey, Darrell, everyone's got an opinion on this, so I'd be curious to know yours. Do you reckon he might get the need to sort of scratch that itch again and perhaps come back? I mean, he's 27, he's retiring in the peak of his career. He may take some time out, but do you think this is it for him, or do you think we might see him back at some point?
I don't know Casey well enough personally. Obviously, I've spoken to him every year since he started as a little kid and went to Europe when he was, you know, around that 14 years of age, and we've always followed him at 10 and, covered stories on him, so known him pretty well that way. Never socialised with him, but, from what I can see of Casey, I don't think he's the sort of guy that would announce that, go away and come back in 2, 3, 4 years' time. I think once he's called it a day, he'll call it a day. He may go and do something else, but and I hope he doesn't. You know, I think there's nothing worse than people making comebacks or coming back out of retirement. You either know or you don't know.
Well, we've seen a little bit of this on four wheels with Michael Schumacher, haven't we? Do you think there's a minimum time that you can afford to spend off the bike in this case before you can come back and pick up where you left off to a point?
Yeah, I think, you know, especially in today's day and age, it's nearly like our parents with computers, isn't it? You know, they struggle to, you know, get on the internet and send emails, and motorcycling's getting a little bit like that in a way. You can imagine the electronic, how sophisticated they're becoming. Depends on what happens with regulations in the future, and if the CRT class stop that race with the manufacturers. I hope it doesn't. It's an elite category, and it should go all the way to the top like Formula One does. But, I would imagine any more than 2 or 3 years away, you'd be playing catch-up way too much with development. So, I really hope he doesn't. I hope he walks away like he has and leaves as a champion and someone that's, definitely left his mark in the two-wheel world.
Talking about the CRTs, Darryl, we're about to see what's effectively the first time at the island for a two-tier main race, I guess, with the CRTs and then the prototypes. Where do you sit on the whole CRT initiative? I mean, there's obviously a lot of reasons financially why it's been bought in, but is this the way that the World Championship's heading, do you think, or is there some sort of middle ground between the two?
I think there's going to be a middle ground between the two, but that, this is only my opinion, but I don't like the CRT idea. I didn't like it when it was announced. There's nothing that's shown me so far to date that it looks that great. The best of them's Randy Depernier. He's doing a pretty reasonable job at times. It's a couple of seconds off. If they were all on those bikes, we probably wouldn't know much, but, I'm a two-wheel purist when it comes to MotoGP specifically, because that's what the category is and that's what it's been. It's been about cutting edge for the manufacturers. That's why we see, road bikes now with the electronics they have and stuff really moving forward. So I don't think it should be anything other than what it's been. 500 two-stroke, that was the best two-stroke they could ever hand-build, and it should be the same for the four-stroke as well. I'm not a big fan of the CRT category.
Mm-hmm. Now, of course, with all this going on, we're talking CRTs, the Stoner retirement, obviously the Valentino Rossi leaving Ducati, which is another story entirely. We've actually got, a pretty healthy championship fight going on. Obviously, Danny Pedrosa's chances were held a little bit with the accident that he had at Misano, but you've got this two-way fight between Lorenzo and Pedrosa this year. Have you assessed their seasons this year, particularly Lorenzo, who's just been so unbelievably consistent?
I have to say Lorenzo's a class act. I've always liked him. I know that, when he first moved into MotoGP, a few people thought he was a bit erratic, but he's become a great champion. He rides exceptionally smooth right now. He's got a good character to him. He's got time for his fans and the media. He's what you want as a world champion. And Danny's yet to win a world title. Spain's not won too many in the Premier class, so obviously with Ali Scroville, Lorenzo, Danny could possibly be the next if he wins this fight this year, but I like Lorenzo as an all-round package. Danny's a lovely guy and deserves a world title if he wins it, but I think also what you're getting at there is that with Casey coming back, Lorenzo's got a one-on-one fight on his hands at the moment, but if Casey's back in there, he's got two guys to deal with, and could be frustrating at times for him with his battle for Pedrosa in the championship. But great for us at the island and great for people watching it on telly.
Well, absolutely. That was going to be my next point. I think the more riders you can add to the mix at that point, the better for the pointy end of the season. Look, we're looking forward to three really big days from you guys on 10, Darryl, with you and Rusty, and very much looking forward to that. And we'll catch you at the island in a few weeks.
Thanks, Matt. Thanks for the time.
Witness history at this year's MotoGP, when Casey Stoner rides for the last time at Phillip Island. To defend his crown, he'll have to see off arch-rival Lorenzo. With crowd favourite Rossi also racing, it'll be an event to remember. While the competition's tough, getting to the track isn't. With plenty of travel options and general admission from $45, the 2012 AirAsia Australian Motorcycle Grand Prix, October 26 to 28. Book now at Foxtix or motogp.com.au.
Prices quoted apply to purchases from Foxtix outlets. Transaction fees from $4.60 apply for phone and internet purchases.
Don't forget to like us on Facebook at Australian MotoGP Events. This is Keeping Track, the official podcast of the Australian GP.
Hard to believe that the 2012 AirAsia Australian Motorcycle Grand Prix will be Nicky Hayden's 10th visit to these shores since making his Australian debut in 2003. Much has changed for the Kentucky kid in that decade since his first Phillip Island outing for Repsol Honda, and I caught up with him in Indianapolis to discuss his contract extension with Ducati and his thoughts on Casey Stoner's retirement.
Nicky, you've just recently announced a contract extension with Ducati. That must be good news, a weight off your mind, and also a chance to probably address some of the unfinished business you probably feel you've got here.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I've been in Ducati now a couple of years and had some okay results, but I hope my best Ducati days are ahead of me. And it is nice to know your future, know where you're going to be. And, you know, really, we've had a couple of not great years at Ducati, but there's no reason why this team and this bike can't win. We have the resources. We have the sponsors, and they've won before. You know, people forget. You know, it wasn't that long ago Ducati was winning races, and I certainly believe it's very possible.
The move to the thousands this year, I mean, you were a big fan of that going forward. What's been the biggest issue, do you think, with the bike? I mean, I've heard you mention understeer a fair bit. Is that the biggest problem you've had?
I would say that's our biggest problem, understeer. Also, we've had problems in races this year where we have been fast as we've destroyed the tires. So I don't think we're as far away as maybe it looks at times. So I still feel like we can finish the season strong and would like to move up another spot or two in the points.
Now, obviously, Phillip Island coming up this year, it's always big down there, but I think this year with Casey's announcement, it's going to be even bigger.
That's what I've heard. I've heard ticket sales have been ridiculous.
Well, I think it's five times the amount of tickets sold year on year compared to last year. So
that's crazy. Where are they going to put everybody?
Well, that's the big question, I guess. Now, I guess you get asked this question a lot with various tracks that you go to, but this is a circuit where you're on the podium there, your first year there. You've still got the lap record there. It must be one that you really look forward to going to.
Of course, everybody loves going to Phillip Island. I mean, they don't always love the weather, but it's one of the best races of the year, if not the best track on the championship. It's a track that normally our bike works really well, and it's a track that suits me. I like fast tracks. I like tracks that go left. And I just like Australia in general. Being an American, the language is similar. I feel quite comfortable there with the culture and stuff. So it's certainly one of my, outside America, maybe probably my favorite race.
You mentioned Casey before. You're obviously his teammate for a couple of years. Getting to know him as much as you can get to know someone over a couple of year period, are you surprised that he decided to walk away while he's still at the top of his game?
A little bit surprised, but you know, Casey does things his way, so I'm just surprised because, you know, to be winning, to be on top, to have a team like that behind you, seems like life would be pretty good. And I don't understand why he would, but that's his decision, and I respect it. He's given a lot to the sport. I see Casey, you know, like him or not. He's ridden, it's not like he's just rolled around and milked it. He's, when he's on the track, he's given a lot. So I'd say he earned the right to do what he wants.
But leaving at the age that he is, it's not something you could ever imagine doing yourself?
No, no. And even this year, I just heard him talk about struggling to find motivation. I think it's pretty good life riding these motorcycles around the world, different races, so it's strange, but again, that's his decision. He probably don't understand why I want to keep doing it.
Absolutely, Nicky, thanks very much for your time.
All right, cheers.
Avoid the stress of driving to and from Phillip Island for the 2012 AirAsia Australian Motorcycle Grand Prix by taking advantage of the new and improved Catch a Coach service. With one-way tickets starting from just $27, you can put your feet up and relax in the comfort of a five-star coach to and from the circuit across all 3 days of the event. The Catch a Coach service leaves from Melbourne CBD, and this year regional areas have been added on Sunday, including Clayton, Cranbourne, Geelong, Ballarat and Traralgon. Wheelchair accessible buses are also available out of Melbourne. Bookings essential. For more information, go to motogp.com.au. Don't forget to follow us on Twitter at OzMotoGP. This is Keeping Track, the official podcast of the Australian GP.
We caught up with South Australian Arthur Sissis on a recent podcast, and there's another young Aussie who's finding his feet in the all-new Moto3 category this year. Jack Miller is a 17-year-old from Townsville in his first full season in the World Championship, and we tracked him down at Indianapolis.
Jack, welcome to the podcast for starters, and your first full season in Moto3. How's it treating you?
It's been a bit up and down so far this year. I mean, we've had a couple of really bad results, and then we've had a couple of really good ones. So, it's all just a learning curve. I mean, we're struggling a lot with the bike this year, but it seems to be coming strong. And I mean, we're apparently getting a new chassis for the Czech Republic, so that should be good.
So it's about a year since you made your 125 debut. From yourself, from a personal point of view, how are you better prepared this year to go through the travel and everything else and the other expectations based on the series?
I don't know if you'd say better prepared, but I mean, we are getting there. I mean, a lot more things I've learned to, like, to be cool and calmer and just try not to be so hot-headed on the first couple of laps and try and finish the race, you know. But I mean, we've had a lot of mechanical problems and stuff like that, so I mean, hopefully we can, that's all out of the way now, and we can continue on for next year and hopefully have a chance at, like, running in the top three or winning the championship would be good if we can find a ride.
Now, you mentioned the first lap. Obviously, going back to round two at Jerez, things were looking pretty good halfway around the first lap. Then you had a fall, broke your collarbone. How was the recovery from that? You only just missed the one race, didn't you?
Yeah, it was a shame, you know, that it was a week later. I got the surgery on Monday morning. And, I mean, I felt like 100% like I could ride in Portugal, but the doctor said I couldn't. So I missed there, and then I came back in, I think it was Le Mans. And then, came back in Le Mans, and it was great, but... Yeah, that was good. And then in Silverstone, I had another broken collarbone when another rider hit me on the first lap, and I ended up flying through the air, and I didn't miss any. I mean, I didn't have to have surgery on that one, but it was still broken, and I still rode the next race. So.
Well, at least you've got a matching set now. With Germany, obviously the big highlight of the first half of the season for you, qualified really, really strongly, raced right up the front, and pipped right on the line really for a podium finish. That must have given you a huge boost of confidence on a circuit where, you know, you obviously got some familiarity with it, but also on a bike that's not really a front-running bike.
Nah, that was it, you know. As a lot of people saw on the television, like, once it dried out that little bit, I couldn't keep on the dry line. And, you know, it's just a shame that it wouldn't turn for me. But, you know, it was good. And it helped me to keep calm. And it was a really good learning race. And hopefully we can, once we get this new frame, if it works as good, if not better, would be great. But hopefully we can get it to turn like we can in the rain and try and do some of those in the dry.
Now, before it does rain here, I need to ask you about Phillip Island last year. You obviously had your World Championship debut there last year. Not such a great qualifying. Ran pretty strongly in the early stages. You must be really looking forward to get back on a familiar patch when October comes around.
Yeah, you know, Phillip Island, it is my home track, but I think I've ridden a lot more Europe tracks more than I have Phillip Island. But no, it's good to get home. I mean, last year was shocking and the qualifying was really bad, and then the rain was a bit touch and go, and I mean, for the first couple of laps, I think I got up to second, then went back when it dried out really fast, like Phillip Island does. But it was good, you know. Hopefully this year the weather will stay nice for us all down there, and hopefully it'll be a good weekend for the Aussies.
Now, obviously, like any 17-year-old Moto3 rider, I'm sure you've got a pretty heavy Twitter presence and Facebook. Where can we find you?
Jack Miller Oz on Twitter, and just Jack Miller on Facebook.
No worries. Thanks very much for your time.
Thank you very much.
History will be made at this year's MotoGP. It's the last time to see two-time world champion Casey Stoner battle at Phillip Island. With arch-rival Lorenzo and crowd favourite Rossi also racing, it's one event not to be missed. While the competition's tough, getting there isn't, with plenty of travel options and three-day grandstand tickets from $285. The 2012 AirAsia Australian Motorcycle Grand Prix, October 26 to 28. Book now at Foxtix or motogp.com.au.
Prices quoted apply to purchases from Foxtix outlets. Transaction fees from $4.60 apply for phone and internet purchases.
For the first time ever, you can buy one-way or return seats in the ticket and coach package for extra convenience. Buy any ticket and coach package before the 18th of October and enter the draw for a Super Sunday upgrade, including a race day preview with racing legend Mick Doohan and unprecedented VIP access to the 2012 AirAsia Australian Motorcycle Grand Prix. Visit motogp.com.au to buy now and win.
That's all we have time for on this edition of Keeping Track. Don't forget to like Australian MotoGP event on Facebook, follow us on Twitter at AusMotoGP, and go to motogp.com.au, where you'll find details of which big-name international guests are coming up on our next episode. Thanks to our guests Darrell Beatty, Nicky Hayden and Jack Miller, and grazie mille to Chris Johnham of Ducati for saving the day. Thanks for listening, and join us again on Keeping Track soon.